A few weeks ago, we watched that tragic fire at Notre Dame before us as it took place. Great sadness, I think, through everybody that saw it. But equally more sadness for those perhaps who have been there and visited and seen it. For it is a magnificent building, or it was. The physical beauty, the striking stained glass windows, the towering height to the pillars that were there. Yet, from my visit there some years ago now, my greatest memory was not inside the church at all. It was in the great big area outside, the paved stone yard outside. I say yard, it's about as big as Trafalgar Square. And there you had probably 200 people queuing to go in and have a look at the place. But on the day that Eileen and I were there, there were as many Christians in the square who were mingling with those 200. And they all had banners. They were all walking round. And on those banners, it quite just clearly said, stop me for a hug. Every single person there, young, old, male, female, all brothers and sisters in Christ, just wanted to give you a hug. I joined in straight away. When they gave you that hug and said this was the love of the Father to each one there, which was lovely. They came to express their love and their closeness to God. It was just lovely to see. But that was a physical expression, if you like, of God's love, which they were sharing with us. And it's the love that we have with our Father. It's the love that, as we've been saying, that's with the death and resurrection of Christ, is open to us all. But the Father wants his Spirit not only to be there with you, but to live in your heart and in your soul. He wants us to embrace and absorb his whole being, not just stop at the hug. Now, I'd hope that all of you have been well and truly hugged in your lifetime. It is a tremendous feeling. If you haven't, just see me after the service. We'll cure that problem straight away. But it's great joy and comfort in a hug. It's an expression of our love to each other. It brings closeness, but not the spiritual closeness of really knowing each other. I'm sure when I first met Eileen, we used to hug, and she got an initial feeling and support with me. Oh, little did she know the real me at that point in time. She might have run away. But it's the same with Father. The initial approach, the initial grace that we have with him is the beginning. It's not all. It's nothing like all. We need to get closer. We need to know each other better. And that only comes with time. It comes with closeness. It comes with a relationship that we need with each other. It comes with knowing him in all his glory and following him with all our heart. The hug is the start. The knowing Christ is the start. Philippians 3 says, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We need to move on. So how do we win this prize? How do we get closer to God? How do we engage with Father? How do we grow into that mature and loving relationship that he wants with us? And as much as I would love to be physically hugged by Father every day, my relationship with him has to be built as he intended it should be built. It started through Jesus. It will end through Jesus. But between then, we have work to do. We must learn to walk in obedience with God. It is making the choice to live by God's viewpoint rather than by our human viewpoint. His will, not ours. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. And it goes on in verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. To keep in step with the Spirit, we must walk under the instruction of the Supreme Teacher. How can we learn to walk in the Holy Spirit's control? Well, the first way is to read, absorb, know, and understand God's Word. Now, this wonderful book that I've got here enables us to live the life the Father has designed for you and for me. Colossians 1:25 expresses it better than I can. My body has become God's servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone with all wisdom, so that they may present everyone perfect in Christ. Now, these glorious riches are here today for each one of us. These riches will mature you and bring you perfect in Christ. This is God's wisdom. And this is one of the primary steps to engaging with your Father. You need to be closer. You need to not just hug, but really know, understand all that is our Father. Does anyone here think that their own wisdom or anybody else's wisdom, come to that, is as good as God's? Well, I'm going to assume the answer is no to that one. It must be. But why then don't we study it more? Why don't we want to know God's word to each one of us? Until his wisdom becomes our wisdom, we cannot improve. It needs to be written on our hearts. There is no better way than to know the Father and his will than to study his word. His word is everything to us. What is the point of wandering through life that he has given us if we don't fully fulfill it in the best possible way, the way that he wants to teach us? Romans 12:3. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed, changing it from your way to his way, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Go back to Psalm 119. These words were from far past, but still very, very valid. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. If you have not read it, you cannot treasure it, and you deprive yourself of armor against sin. And in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you accept Christ, the devil will flee. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with his word. As you walk step by step, applying God's word to your life, you will grow and mature spiritually. Hebrews 5:13. Anyone who lives on milk is still an infant and is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food, his word, is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Or I could go on quoting similar passages for the rest of the morning if you want to stay here. This is all from his word. All what he's pleading with us. Please, please, know me more. Know me more by knowing my word. Growing closer to the Lord is the most important thing in our lives. Read the word of God and be blessed. But in reading his word, I'm often challenged and I need guidance, and Jesus knew I would. He gave me the Holy Spirit to guide me. Through him I can commune with Father. Through him my prayers are heard and answered. How can I possibly start my day without knowing his will? How do I start my day not knowing he's with me? How do I start my day if I have not expressed my fears and anxieties and received his blessing? How can I end my day without thanking him for his guidance? How can I end my day not seeking forgiveness for things not done or things done in error? How can I mature without that ongoing relationship with a father? And this I do in prayer, a time of communion with my Lord, a time to reflect, a time to seek forgiveness, a time for guidance, a time to receive, a time to receive. And as we mature, as we know more of him, we receive more. We are promised his kingdom, and his divine power will give us all we need for life and godliness. And as he adds to our faith, he'll provide the goodness, the knowledge, the self-control, the perseverance, the kindness, the love. It'll all come. And as we receive these in increasing measure, your walk will be that much more effective, more productive, and adding more to his glory. And the wonderful thing about walking with God day by day and learning more of him is that you're being changed. And as you surrender, you mature towards the perfection the Father wants, the Father desires. And you have that peace and understanding that he alone can provide. It's that closeness you have with him. It's greater than a hug. It's almost a total squeeze, isn't it? It just takes a breath away. You are part of a wonderful fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ together here, walking as an army in his power and his glory. And as you learn more, as you know more, as you become closer, then that army becomes tougher, it becomes fitter, it becomes better. Engaging with Father and growing closer to him is the most important thing in your life. I've said it once before, and I'm going to say it again and again. Engaging with Father and growing closer to him is the most important thing in your life. Everything you are should flow from everything you are in Christ Jesus. Mature Christians have received the truth through the gospel. No other word can be trusted unless it is tested by his word. James 4:8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And as you receive from him, you can give out to others. You'll give out more to others. As Father loves all his children, so your love and engagement with your brothers and sisters will also grow. We become as one in Christ Jesus. We profess our faith and our belief as one body. We act as one body. We commune with God as one body. in a few moments, we're going to be sharing communion together. We're as individuals, we recognize, accept, and remember the sacrifices Jesus made. We've been celebrating that this morning. Jesus died and rose again. His death has blown away the huge void that separated us from Father. We are now in early reach. We can talk to him. We can be close to him. We can be with him. But when we come to communion, we don't just come as individuals. We tend to think that this is a very personal time of each one of us walking up in communion with God. But it's not just as individuals. We come as brothers and sisters in Christ. In this room, we come worldwide. It's one communion of our expression of our faith and of our love and our belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're unified. We come together, we share together. We have one objective in life: to glorify God and look heavenward. So as we commune together, we come to seek the Lord individually and as a group. You know, when Spirit came at Pentecost, he came to individuals, but he actually created an army. He didn't look upon one person to lead on. He created thousands. He wanted an army. He gave them the gifts and empowerment to spread the gospel and bring God the glory. And as an army, they supported each other. They worked for each other. They encouraged each other. They worked together as one. Just as we are called to do the same. And as we meet around the table this morning, let us just remember that we do that as one, not as a group, not as a whole. We come to this table in remembrance and as one body, rejoicing in all that he has given. Before we come to the communion table, just wanted to bear in mind that we need to come with a clean heart, forgiven and forgiving. At one with the Lord and at one with each other. Joined in love, joined in unity. We are as one, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's just have a minute or two in quiet, shall we? Just pray. Make sure you come with a clean heart to this table. Let's pray, shall we?